we had a pretty simple idea. Farm to spoon is kind of our thing. So we're the only yogurt around non-dairy that we grow the almonds and we're actually making and selling the yogurt. We have control of the process all the way through. I'm going to be a farmer my entire life. There's nothing I enjoy more than as a stress reliever is to walk out in an almond orchard or into any field and feel the seasons. In spring, you see the almond bloom. In the summer, you open the door and it's so hot, you don't want to get out. In winter, to drive around and see the rain or walk through a field with a light drizzle. I think that's one of the magic parts of being a farmer that I think a lot of people miss is actually being connected with the land and the seasons. And so I think always first, I will be a farmer.
It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
There's a lot of challenges in agriculture, but one of the success stories that people keep talking about are the almond industry. Almond farmers, by and large, have had good years over the years, but some almond farmers have decided that, well, maybe there's another step to this. And I'm talking to somebody this morning that's done that, that's gone from just almond farming to vertically integrating and has other products. And it's an interesting story. Matt Billings, welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Hey, thank you, Roger. Nice to be here.
It's good to talk to you again. We're old friends with your family, I feel like. When I managed the almond board, your dad, Dee, was very active and an important leader. And before long, you were getting involved in the production. And I think there are farmers around the country that are envious now. You know, the beginning, I think we had 300 million pounds of almonds we were producing when I was hired. And then we started working on the nutritional programs that went up to over what, 3 billion pounds? Is it?
This year was just over 2.5 billion.
Describe your almond operation. You sure. Raise almonds. I'm not sure if you're raising anything else too. Are you farming any other commodities other than almonds?
Farming a few other crops, but 95% of what we do is almonds. It's a fourth generation family farm. I came back in 1994, five, somewhere in that range. And my dad had been running it. At that time, probably similar to most almond farms in the state, we had almonds, we had grapes, we had alfalfa, we had beans, kind of farming a little bit of everything. And we saw the potential success of the almond industry and started planting more almonds and getting out of the row crops and some of the other challenging permanent crops we were in, grapes at that time. So that was in the 90s. We started doing some of our marketing and sales through another processing company in the later 90s, early 97, 98. And then we partnered in 1999 with another company, Tejon Ranch, to buy our almond processing and hulling shelling facility. We purchased their 100% of their interest in, I think it was 2004. So we've been vertically integrated in that side, growing and hulling, shelling, and processing. And then about 2 or 3 years ago, we decided almonds, we love almonds, we love our almonds. We also grow organic and conventional almonds, and we wanted to try to share it more directly with the end consumer and get away from the commodity aspect of business. So we got into, started working on looking at a lot of different products and settled on a almond milk yogurt. So,
well, let's catch up a little bit. So about how many acres of almonds do you have?
Around 1,000 acres.
It's a lot of almonds. And then a share of those are organic.
Correct.
So between the organic and the conventional, is there much difference in the yields?
Oh, significantly. Yes, the organic yields are probably about half of the conventional yields.
So you only make up the difference if you can get a price that's nearly double then.
Correct. And it costs more per acre to farm the organic almonds. It's significant, probably a 30-40% increase in per acre farming plus less yield.
So I guess it's not quite as profitable yet. Or is it the price enough that it's profitable, comparable?
I think it's comparable. I think it seems to work for us. Mm-hmm. We always we try to be realists, but we're probably optimistic. So we're always looking at the next year. It's always going to be better, we think. So.
You know, even I work with you guys in the almond industry. I still have my background as being a farmer back in the Midwest. And you had things like you had livestock. You get up and go do your chores. And, you know, the farming with almonds are so much different. I mean, you're planting trees and what? It's like 5 years before you're producing anything on those trees?
The third year, so 2.5 years, you get your first harvest.
Oh, okay. So, but quite a bit smaller, right, than in the first?
It's maybe a third of full production. I'd say 5 years is your full production, 5-6 years, somewhere in that range.
So you plant all these trees, and are you using flood irrigation or drip irrigation?
Drip, all micro irrigation.
Kind of real quickly, for people that don't quite see this, so you've got the trees out there, and they pollinate with bees. Could you just give me like the 5-minute run through? I mean, when you get the trees up and they start producing, what are the production stages of sure. You know, pollination and anything that you have to add to the trees as the season goes on before you get up to the harvest time?
Sure. So you plant an almond orchard, it's a first cousin to a peach. The roots are actually on almost all almonds are peach. So you plant the tree, your third year you get a crop, fifth, sixth year becomes full production. And they live somewhere between 25 and 30 years is the useful life of an almond orchard. Mm-hmm. So as far as the production cycle, it's one crop every year. You get a bloom. So the almonds bloom before the leaves come out. So that's in middle of February to runs through about the middle of March, somewhere on that time frame. Beautiful white bloom. The bees come in, they'll pollinate the almonds, and once the almonds are pollinated, the bees are there for about a month, they leave, and the petals fall, looks like it's snowed. Even more beautiful, and then the nuts start to grow. So by August, it's about time to harvest. So we'll come in August, September, October timeframe, depending on the varieties. And you shake the tree, the nuts fall onto the ground, you let them dry for about a week, and then you sweep them together in a row, you pick them up, and you take them to the hulling shelling facility. So if you think of an almonds as a first cousin to a peach, there's a leathery outer hull, which would be the equivalent on a peach to the flesh that you eat. That's about 50% of the weight. You have a shell, which would be the equivalent of a peach pit. And then inside that, there's a nut, and that's the almond. So we sell the hull for cattle feed typically. You sell the shell for bedding and feed, things like that, and for cattle industry, milk industry. And then the nut is sold, obviously, for people that eat the nuts. So 100% of the product of an almond tree is utilized.
So at one stage you were marketing to somebody. Were you selling at that point to a handler?
I mean, when we first started in the 60s, I think we were selling to Cage, and Cage was the predecessor of Blue Diamond. So a mm-hmm. big cooperative, and they would take possession of it. We'd go through cooperative hulling, shelling facilities. And so, no, originally we were just farming, and then, the end user would, or the marketer processing company would take title to the almonds.
And then gradually, did you maintain ownership in these almonds at some stage and were exporting natural almonds yourself, or were you always selling it to somebody else that was exporting them or selling to other customers?
So yeah, that was kind of the transition we made in the latter part of the 1990s. We got into holding title, and then we'd work with another company. I think initially we got into selling more on a call pool basis. So we would make the decision when we wanted to sell.
Yeah.
And once we kind of became comfortable with that, then we started having someone custom process the almonds for us, and we remained title. And then eventually ended up, we purchased the processing facility and we did it all ourselves now. And we do that for other growers. So we custom process for other growers and sell their nuts.
So you're producing the almonds and you're processing the almonds and you're taking almonds in from other farmers then. And then when did you start brainstorming the idea of saying, well, maybe we can go further. Maybe we can add value and have a product that uses almonds, you know, going beyond brown skin almonds?
I would say it was about three and a half years ago, we started brainstorming that idea. Years ago, we tested a little retail roasted salted nut snack and had marginal success in it.
I remember. I think I got to taste some of that.
Yeah. So that was years ago. We started kind of brainstorming the idea, since we grow organic almonds, and organic almonds are a smaller piece of California production. They're less than 1% of the acreage. Mm-hmm. So we felt we had a little bit of a advantage there, being the growers, and we knew we had locked in supply. So we looked at almond butters, we looked at almond milks, we kind of looked at all through that whole chain, processing it, doing it for other people, and we kind of settled on this organic almond milk yogurt. There wasn't really an aha moment, but it kind of just naturally settled into that product.
At that stage, you were already had got your foot in the water on roasting, you know, so you go from brown skin and you get down to a roasted almond, and then you grind it and it's formed into almond butter, right?
Correct.
Before you go into making yogurt. How do you go from there into yogurt?
So our process is we blanch the almonds first. Mm-hmm. So you blanch, take the skin off, then we roast it. It's a medium roast, medium light roast, and then they double grind it into a almond butter. And our product is pretty simple. It's basically almond butter and water.
Really?
And then there's some other agents we add to it to give it some more thick body, because non-dairy yogurts do not thicken. They'll be real watery. So we add some oat fiber into it to thicken the product up. And then there's often fruit. So there's organic almonds and organic fruit, water, and that's pretty much it.
So did you find a company that had experience in that, or did you have to go in and set it up and recruit people that knew that could make yogurt?
Yeah, the latter. So they did not have any experience making non-dairy yogurts. This was their first non-dairy yogurt. They did have yogurt experience. So they do co-packing for a lot of big retail brands of dairy milk yogurt. But it was about a year and a half in the formulation process to come up. Unlike a lot of almond milk, too, each cup of our yogurt has 20 almonds in it. So it's a very high percentage, almost an ounce of almonds per cup. So it's a high percentage of almonds for almond milk.
So that's actually like the serving that we used to say for almonds to get the health benefit was about a handful, which was around 20 almonds, if I remember right.
Exactly.
You're getting the equivalent of what people said was enough to have health benefit, just of the nuts alone, let alone of the yogurt.
Exactly.
That's pretty impressive. Because I've heard some of the people that were skeptical about almond milk when it was first coming out were saying that, you know, a larger, I'm not sure what size container of almond milk, some had very few almonds in it.
So less than 2% typically.
Yeah. So your concentration is pretty impressive. And then you're adding the fruit flavors from what, peaches or?
So there's four flavors, and the name of it's AYO. So almond milk yogurt, AYO. And we're real original namers here. So, in the AO, there's four flavors. There's strawberry, blueberry, peach, and vanilla. So if you look at yogurts in the U.S., I think 85% of yogurt sales are those four flavors. So we weren't trying to reinvent the wheel. We wanted people to feel comfortable with flavors they're already comfortable with. And we just stuck with those four. And then we're in the process of rolling out a plain, larger size plain yogurt.
Do you get the raw fruit, or do you get the juices concentrated?
It's a raw fruit puree. So there is some puree, but there's also pieces of fruit in the yogurt.
Are they from the Central Valley?
It's a good question. We source it through a company that does organic fruit sourcing for the yogurt industry. So
okay.
I'd say most of the berries are probably from the United States. The peaches, I'm not 100% sure. I know the vanilla is not. I'm pretty sure the vanilla is out of Madagascar.
So here we are. We started off farming. We've got the orchard. You're able to go into some further processing and skip all the way ahead now to the fact that you've got the yogurt. It's an interesting journey. Now, you must had to, you fiddle with it and you get it right and it tastes right and so forth. But then you had to make decisions on how you're going to package it and label it and distribute it. Tell me a little bit about that process.
We worked with a really good outfit, we still do, out of San Francisco. And they helped us a lot on the advertising, brand development. We had a pretty simple idea. We farm to spoon is kind of our thing. So we're the only yogurt around non-dairy that we grow the almonds and we're actually making and selling the yogurt. So we have control of the process all the way through. And we kind of think there's a lot of value to that. Other thing is we wanted to create a product that is tastes good and people want to eat. Now, and we're not trying to masquerade that we're something we're not. We're not trying to make a Greek yogurt imitation. We're making an almond milk yogurt. When you taste our yogurt, it has a fruit forward and then it has this toasted almond. We're trying to make the almond shine a little bit. We love our almonds and we're trying to get people to, hopefully they love them as much as we do. So we wanted a good product, good tasting product. Organic, it's non-GMO, it's vegan, gluten and dairy free. It's kind of hits all the check boxes. Once we started working with this agency, it was pretty simple. We kind of had our path. We knew where we wanted to go and I had a good vision for our brand and who we are. And we're just trying to really be true to ourselves and the almond industry. And
so how do you go to market then? I mean, you've got the positioning, you've got the product, you've got the raw ingredient. Do you start with a test market or do you start with a supermarket chain that you convince them to give it a try? How do you get your feet in the water there?
That is the challenge. We have a sales company we work with, a brokerage sales company, and they basically go out and drum up demand. A lot of no's. I mean, as you can imagine, you go to every chain store, you walk in for your 10-minute meeting and you do this fast pitch and bring samples. Hopefully people taste them and like the yogurt. Distribution for us was probably more difficult. I think our product's pretty unique and a lot of grocery stores have interest and want to take it. And the bigger challenge for us was to get the distribution to get into the stores. So currently you can go on our website, AO.com, and it shows where we're distributed, but it's Pacific Northwest, California, Texas, parts of Texas, and East Coast, Northeast Coast. And that's probably the biggest challenge, honestly. And the coronavirus now is not making it any easier. We were planning all through February, March, and April to do a lot of in-store tastings and samplings. And that, as you can imagine, has all been shelved until further notice. So
yeah.
Probably not the best time, Roger, to roll out a new grocery store brand during the coronavirus. It's beyond challenging. And then I think another with the distribution that's been a little bit of a challenge as well is so many other items that are getting sold out of stores. And if you're a newer item, they kind of put you on the back of the truck. Yeah. The trucks are getting filled up with other items that people are wanting. I mean, still, we're seeing a lot of interest and a lot of demand, which is positive, but it's still a little bit challenging.
You know, when you talk about the distribution, Matt, you have a really unique product. You got a great product. You've got the raw material. You've got the packaging. You know how to present it. It's organic. And then you go out and knock on doors. And so you or somebody has to get an appointment then with a supermarket. And you go into what is in the case of the yogurt, is it the dairy department that...
refrigerated dairy shelf.
I remember going in and making calls like that, and I found that really kind of humiliating because in the old days, at least, you know, they kind of look at their watch. You know, I do podcasts that are 30 minutes long, but you go in and you've got everything you have to market, and it's like you got 10 minutes. You got to like make your pitch, and they like it or not.
That was probably some of the more challenging things. Most of our product, the vast majority of everything we sell, is a commodity. We sell in truckload lots. So then you're going in and you're trying to pitch this branded product that no one's seen before. No one really, they have a vague idea of what it is. And it could be challenging. But honestly, we've had a lot of positive response from it because it is such a unique product. There's really not very many almond non-dairy yogurts. It's just a handful that are out there. There are none that are organic and coming from our from the farm. We have a good story, and I think that helps. I always wear my work boots in when I go to these meetings so I can prove I'm an actual farmer. So,
yeah, good. Now, do you bring the yogurt in and, get them to taste it?
If we can, yeah. Some people will taste it and others will not taste it, but we always bring samples in.
Do you often have to pay any kind of a slotting allowance to be able to get it onto a shelf?
I wouldn't use, it's not really a slotting allowance. There's other things you do. You'll give free fills on your first round. You help advertise in the whatever chain store magazine, things like that. There's things you have to do. It's not really a slotting allowance though.
Okay. But you've got maybe what, like four facings or so with your products in that right. Great big dairy case. And there's so much yogurt. So who actually brings it into the store? Do you have to work with a distributor that's making normal deliveries to that store to get them to stock the shelves for you?
Correct. And it depends on the grocery store. Some will use their own in-house distribution, and then others will farm out. There's several bigger distributor companies that are out there. Most of ours right now is in the natural food stores is our big push. We're not in any of the big Kroger's or anything like that yet, although we're pushing on that. So it's usually UNFI is an example of a distributor, or KeHE or some of the larger distributors that we use.
And some of those companies are used to dealing with smaller entrepreneurs that are kind of like you launching new products.
Correct.
And so that's probably a benefit. Now I want to back up one more thing. It is a probiotic. So you have to be using microbes. You have to be adding the good bacteria. Now, that should be new. I mean, it's funny because you're in the farming business and been used to worrying about the bad microbes. But now you're in a business, you got to find the good microbes and put sure. back in the food.
So we worked with a group out of Chicago that helped do all the formulations. There are several well-known companies that will make vegan yogurt starters. And then vegan probiotic starters. So there's, and I can't remember off the top of my head the exact name of what they are, but we have two probiotic only cultures in our yogurt, as well as the cultures that actually make the yogurt and give it the yogurt taste.
I mean, I can't even imagine what that looks like. You can't get a truckload of bacteria, you know, or a truckload of these starters.
Well, I've seen it. It's always been dry. It's almost like a yeast when you're making bread. It's a dry product.
Yeah.
So we'll make the almond milk, convert the almond milk into yogurt, run it through a pasteurization step. And then as it's sitting in the vat, turning into yogurt, you add this culture at certain temperatures, and that's what causes it to start to grow.
Well, Matt, what a story. How do you see the future for you?
A little bit of everything. Currently, our goal is to continue to expand into more stores, get into mainstream grocery stores as well as the natural food stores like Whole Foods, expand the product line. At some point, when we get enough traction with our existing product line, expand flavors, possibly we've discussed going into vegan almond milk cheeses, ice creams, you know, all that different spectrum. So, I mean, that's really far down the line, I think, now. But currently, on the immediate horizon, we're continually pushing, want to get nationwide, rolling out a plain larger container almond milk yogurt.
So is this going to be that Farmer Matt is going to wear his work boots and fly out to Cincinnati and sit across the desk in Kroger's and, you know, some of the big chains?
It's been done already.
You know, it's important to keep those work boots.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
At least you're at a stage they don't expect you to show up in a bib overalls or a straw hat now.
Straw hat, yeah.
Well, then it comes back to your roots as a farmer. I mean, so you guys were farmers in Kern County, California, narrowed it down, almonds were where you were, and then you started adding all these products, and here you are today. Do you still consider yourself a farmer who is vertically integrated in marketing yogurt? Are you becoming a merchandiser who happens to farm? Do you feel
I think I'm going to be a farmer my entire life, Roger. I there's nothing I enjoy more than as a stress reliever is to walk out in an almond orchard or into any field and feel the seasons. In spring, you see the almond bloom. In the summer, you open the door and it's so hot, you don't want to get out. In winter, to drive around and see the rain or walk through a field with a light drizzle. I think that's one of the magic parts of being a farmer that I think a lot of people miss, is actually being connected with land and the seasons. And so I think always first, I will be a farmer. I might be trying to sell my AO yogurt, but I will always be a farmer first.
Well, and then like every once in a while, you're going to have to be jumping on a plane and going and participate. Here comes Farmer Matt. And the implications it's had for everybody that works with you and for you, because as a farmer, you were hiring people that were helping you set up the irrigation and do the trimming and do the harvesting. And you were, you know, there's a lot of people in that. And then as you further processing, you had to employ people too that were doing all of this. And now you're into the distribution and sales. You're creating jobs. I mean,
absolutely.
Do you have some of the people working for you that have been able to grow into some other responsibilities because you've been vertically integrating?
Yeah, I think there have been people that have grown into more responsibilities on the farm side, people that have grown into more responsibilities on the sales side and the processing side, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, a lot of our employees have worked with, we've worked with the same people for decades, more than 20, 30 years. So.
Is it possible for you to be able to do sales online too?
That is a little bit more challenging just because of the cold chain that we need to maintain with the yogurt, right, and the shipping. We send out samples a lot. The cold chain is a little bit challenging online. It's going to most likely have to be grocery store as a distribution.
You know, one of the things I've noticed is that there's companies now that are bundling all kinds of foods because of the coronavirus. And so people are picking up bundles of food. One of them that I've used, Produce Express up here in Sacramento, has got one that's a dairy box, and it includes somebody's yogurt too. And so it's just kind of interesting, percolating all over the country. There are really innovations taking place that, and farmers participating further up the chain into direct marketing to consumers. Not very many that are going as far as you've gone. It's exciting. Do you have a website?
AO Yogurt. AOYogurt.com.
A-Y-O.
Yogurt.com.
Yogurt.com. And then does that map also show where it might be available?
Or do we have a hyperlink on there, and it'll give you a map of the United States. You can plug in your zip code and tell you the stores we're being sold at.
Well, Matt, I really am impressed with what you're doing, and I appreciate your enthusiasm, and I think it's the kind of creativity that agriculture needs. So keep up the good work, and thanks for being on Farm to Table Talk.
Hey, great. Great to talk to you again, Roger.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson. If you like what you hear, go to farmtotabletalk.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or go to iTunes to subscribe and give us a review and a rating. Thanks for listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.